The Tesla Twins, Rescue at the Speed of Light. Written by Jeff Nurek. Narrated by Kat Lookabaugh. Backstory. In their last adventure, the Tesla Twins sent tech mogul Buck Gaines running back into the circuitry. Lily Kwan trapped him there by cutting the power to his death ray experiment. The twins did not know about a mysterious message from someone claiming to be their presumed dead parents, Joe and Ava Tesla. Years earlier, the twins had lost their parents in an electrical accident where they worked, or so they were told. The company representative assured them that they didn't suffer, they were vaporized. At the time, Grandpa hugged the twins, moaning, "Joe, Ava, no." The twins were originally told their last name was Slate in order to protect them from people looking for Nikola Tesla's inventions. When he told them who they really are during their recent adventure, Grandpa hugged the twins and said, "Your parents would be so proud of you. I'm glad you know now that our real last name is Tesla." Just as their previous adventure was ending, back at Buck Gaines' Nantech headquarters, a message appeared on the monitor.
"Hello, is anybody there? This is Ava and Joseph Slate. We are trapped here."
The nanotech scientist Lily Kwan, her daughter Judith, and the twins' friend Walter stared at the screen in surprise.
"Did you type this?" Lily asked.
"No, it just popped up," Judith replied.
Walter wondered,
"Is this real?"
Lily just said,
"We need to tell Nick and Tess that their parents may be alive."
Meanwhile, Buck Gaines escaped from the Tesla house through the electric current back to his hidden equipment. But Lily Kwan was able to trap Gaines by cutting the power to the equipment. Now, the new story begins. The Tesla Twins, Rescue at the Speed of Light. Part 1. The action picks up immediately following the previous adventure, with Nick shaking his sister's hand at the Tesla house.
"Nice job, sis," he said.
"We make a pretty good team," she replied.
Walter, Lily, and Judith arrived at the Tesla house just then to share the news.
Lily said, "We received a message from someone saying they were your parents."
Walter added, "I saw it. They may be alive."
Judith jumped in.
"I saw it first."
Grandpa Nick and Tess cried out,
"Joe, Ava,
alive,
Mom and Dad."
Lily held up her laptop and said,
"Let me show you. We need to figure out where it came from."
She went on explaining,
"The message came to Gaines' lab from another company, Megatech. I know they had an arrangement. I just don't know what it was."
Nick wondered,
"Why would Gaines connect with Megatech?"
And Walter muttered,
"We need to get to him."
Grandpa put a hand on Nick's arm.
"Let's not go running into danger again."
Nick responded,
"We have to go. What if our mom and dad are alive?"
Tess added,
"We need to get back into the circuitry and find our parents."
Lily shook her head.
"I wish I had more time to tell you about your prosthetics."
She rushed on.
"Tess, your eyes have facial recognition, health monitors, telescopic and infrared imaging,
and information display. Nick, your arms do so many more things than you know. They have electromagnets, communications, projectors, and tools for electronics."
Going to the Philadelphia experiment console, Lily said,
"I'll turn the power back on at Gaines' lab so you can get to him."
As the twins got on the transporter platform, Walter asked,
"Are you ready?"
Grandpa said,
"Please be careful."
And Judith chimed in,
"I can't believe you can really travel through electricity."
The twins grinned and Tess gave a thumbs up.
"We're ready."
"We'll help you from here," Lily exclaimed.
Part 2. The Philadelphia experiment sparked to life and the twins dove down through the electrical current. Landing on the circuit board across from Gaines, Nick declared, "Gaines, we're not done with you." As Nick raised his prosthetic hands threateningly, Tess demanded, "Where are our parents?" Gaines backpedaled fearfully. "What are you talking about? Your parents are gone. They died in the currents."
Tess fiercely asked, "Why would there be a message saying they are alive? And why would the message from them come from Megatech?"
Gaines gasped, "Megatech? That means the Count had something to do with their disappearance. It makes sense." He trailed off. Nick was confused. "What makes sense? Tell us or I will cut off the power to your lab and leave you here forever."
"Wait," Buck begged. "I'll tell you what I know."
He went on quickly. "The owner of Megatech is billionaire Count Mario Inganamorte. He has to be the one who took your parents."
Tess cried out, "What do you mean? Why would he do that?"
Buck went on. "The Count was diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor. He searched the world for experts to help him escape death. He was going to use all the means and money available to him, but the doctor just pointed to the brain scan saying, 'I'm afraid you have only 3 years to live.'"
Everything Buck said was true. The Count brought in the world's greatest scientists, demanding a solution on how to stay alive. One scientist suggested, "We'll build you a suit of armor."
Another offered, "I could cryogenically freeze your head."
Ethel Bloom, an expert in the theory of relativity, gave him hope. She said, "Albert Einstein theorized that if you travel at the speed of light, time will stand still. Therefore, if you travel at the speed of light, you would not age." She added, "British theoretical physicist Stephen Hawking theorized that if you could build a particle accelerator large enough to accelerate humans, then you could move passengers at the speed of light, thereby stopping time for them. What if we could make you small enough to travel in a small accelerator? If we can get you traveling that fast, we would suspend your life until a cure can be found." Then Ethel went even further. "But what if we could allow you to live in the present time while you were suspended? Your thoughts could control a robotic version of you while you travel at the speed of light. We just need to find a way to get you to move that fast." The Count was excited. "I know a scientist named Gaines who claims he can get people traveling at the speed of light."
Buck continued the story. "He heard me talking about how I could travel through electricity at the size of a micron. I was saying, 'I have traveled within electricity and controlled electronics from within. This will allow me to build electronics at nanoscale.' Even while my colleague scoffed, 'Sure you did.' He approached me about helping him create a microaccelerator to have a human travel at the speed of light. In exchange, the Count financed my company. So I created an accelerator that could house him safely and allow him to control an android of himself. I showed him the control mechanism," Buck explained, "and I said, 'We can connect this to the lab and make the transfer. With my technology, you'll be able to travel within the accelerator at the speed of light.' Then we made a direct electrical path to my lab in anticipation of that transfer." "That must be how the message came back to the lab," Buck finished.
Tess was amazed. "Whoa, my eyes are showing that he's telling the truth. How could our parents have gotten involved in that?" she exclaimed, as her prosthetic eyes displayed an 88% chance that the subject, Buck Gaines, was speaking truthfully.
Buck shook his head. "The Count didn't trust that my plan would work safely and wanted to try it out on someone. I wasn't about to volunteer. He must have used the currents to direct your parents into the accelerator all those years ago. The Count had been practicing controlling the android version of himself with a control helmet. He said,
I know I can control my robot body, but how do we test the accelerator?
I asked. Who would volunteer? I'm afraid we'll have to wait until you're ready to enter it. At the time, the Count nodded calmly and said,
You're right, Buck. We'll just have to wait until I need to enter the accelerator.
Then the Count must have gone to Ethel Bloom behind my back.
We need to test it. Buck won't help. Do you have any ideas? He demanded. She nodded eagerly. We'll use the connection to his lab. We know he travels by the currents already. We can trick him into the accelerator and see if it works.
Buck finished. I'm afraid Ingana Morte must have used your parents as guinea pigs.
Nick was firm. We need to find them, and you're going to help us.
Part 3. Gaines was correct. The Count had redirected the Teslas to his human accelerator experiment to see if it would indeed allow him to live forever. As they flew round and round within the accelerator, Ava wondered, Why aren't we back at the lab? Then they suddenly stopped accelerating and tumbled to the floor of the accelerator, rubbing their heads disoriented. After traveling at the speed of light for nearly 3 years, Joe and Ava Tesla were set free when the power was remotely shut off by Lily Kwan, allowing them to look for help. Standing there, Ava wondered, What is this? And Joe looked around, Where are we? Locating a door in the wall, Joe and Ava found their way out of the accelerator, but they weren't where they expected to be. They saw a huge window showing the Count in a wheelchair talking to Ethel Bloom, who was standing at a computer terminal. Ava exclaimed, That looks like Count Ingana Morte. Why would we be here? Confused, Joe said, What is this? It doesn't look like we can go anywhere. And Ava responded, Did Gaines do this to us? Something's not right here. We should stay hidden until we figure out what's going on. Joe looked at Bloom.
Look, there's a keyboard. It looks like it's connected to where we are.
Meanwhile, a burly man named Thor, standing by the Count, declared,
It looks like the power has been restored, sir. I'll check to see what the problem was.
Ava took Joe's hand and they started running together.
Let's hope we end up at the right place this time.
Coming to a stop, they studied the keyboard circuit board they were standing on. Joe said,
We should be able to get a message out. Hopefully someone who can help us will get this.
The message that they needed help arrived at Gaines' lab and Lily Kwan saw it, though they didn't know that. Then Ava suggested,
Let's head back to where we were and see if there's a way out.
However, just at that moment, they heard the Count ask,
Did anything happen while the power was out?
And Bloom, studying the accelerator in the robot's midsection, replied,
Our guests are not in the accelerator anymore. We can't let them escape. Monitor the electricity.
Joe's eyes widened in shock.
They know about us.
Part 4. Meanwhile, the twins and Gaines are determined to find Joe and Ava Tesla. Nick said,
We're going to follow the path the message took back to Megalab.
Tess pointed at Gaines.
You're going to help us find them.
Back in the Tesla house, Lily Kwan sent a message to the twins.
Are you ready? I have a path ready for you to follow, Tess.
Gaines and the twins dove into the current and zoomed to the giant circuit board, landing on it. Tess studied it and said,
It's a keyboard. This is where they were.
How can you tell? Asked Nick.
Using her prosthetic eyes to examine the board, Tess explained,
Someone has been here. I can see heat imprints from someone walking around.
We need to see where we are, Buck said.
They looked up through the window and saw the Count in his wheelchair, Bloom, Thor, and the robot on the other side.
Who is that? Nick asked. Buck told them, That is the Count. The robot is his plan to live forever.
They are not in the accelerator, Bloom worried.
Thor said,
We need to cut the power so they cannot escape. The Count agreed.
Good idea, Thor. We need to see if they've aged and if your theory worked, Dr. Bloom. He went on, I'm getting close to needing the accelerator to survive.
Nick cried out, Is he talking about Mom and Dad? Let's get out there now.
Tess replied, How do we know if they even are there?
Gaines studied the scene of Bloom and the robot and said,
Tess, zoom in on the android.
Tess locked her eyes on the accelerator in the robot's middle and noticed two heat signatures.
I see something, she cried out. There are two hot spots inside the android.
We need to get out there now, Nick said.
The Count studied the android too.
They must be somewhere in the system. They couldn't have gone far. We need to find them. Thor, I may need you to take a trip and find our guests.
Watching the scene play out on the other side of the window, Joe told Ava,
I don't like this. Let's get back inside.
Back in the accelerator, Ava asked Joe, What do we do now? Joe answered,
We hope that someone got our message.
Bloom, watching the screen, suddenly said,
Wait, it looks like they are in there.
Start it back up, the Count ordered. We can't let them escape.
Bloom tapped her keyboard, sending the Tesla zooming through the accelerator.
I've got it up and running.
How do we get out of this? Ava asked in despair.
We need to go now, Nick said.
I'll stay here and control the accelerator from inside the keyboard, Gaines offered.
No, said Tess, you're coming with us.
The three dove into the current together, but then Gaines veered off from the twins.
Hey, Nick yelled. Where are you going, Gaines? Cried Tess.
Bloom tapped away at the computer connected to the android as the Count watched.
I'll see what electric pathways are open, she said.
Part 5. Suddenly, Nick and Tess were in the accelerator traveling side by side with their parents.
Mom! Dad!
Nick? Tess? Ava asked, stunned.
What? How can this be?
Joe asked in wonder as they all continued zooming. Bloom pointed to her screen.
There are two more travelers in the accelerator. What do we do?
Cut off all power to and from the accelerator, the Count said grimly. Don't give them a path to escape.
Tess was anxious. We need to get out of here. We can talk about it all later. Ava was amazed.
How is this possible? You've grown. What is going on?
They are isolated, Bloom declared. The only power is between the terminal and the robot.
Meanwhile, Gaines had diverted himself through the current to the thought control helmet of the robot, which he helped build.
Now I will see if I can make a deal with the Count, he thought to himself. I own his destiny if I control his life preserver.
The Count told Thor,
Go to our transporter. We'll see if we were able to recreate Gaines' technology. Find out who is in my robot.
Thinking fast as she zoomed, Tess called out, Lily, we lost Gaines. We can't slow down. What should we do?
Gaines can't be far, Lily responded, working at her terminal. I can't cut the power anymore. They disconnected the paths.
Walter had an idea.
Did you say Nick had electromagnets?
Yes, Walter, Grandpa said excitedly. What if he uses the magnets to slow down and grab the walls?
Lily relayed the message.
Did you hear that, Nick? To activate your magnets, push all three buttons on your left arm.
As Nick started to activate the magnets, Joe asked,
What happened to your arms?
Nick said, It's a long story. I'll be right back.
The power surged through his arms.
It's working. I'm slowing down.
Suddenly, Nick was crouching, stuck to the wall.
I'm stopped, he said.
Now use your lasers to cut your way out, Lily instructed.
As Nick cut through the wall, he grinned.
What do you say we slow things down a bit?
Suddenly, he and his parents and Tess tumbled to the floor as the accelerators shut down.
We've stopped, Tess cried out with relief.
Hugging each other, Joe said,
Look at you!
And Tess replied, I missed you.
Nick said, We thought you were gone.
But Ava was still confused.
We've only been gone a day. How is this possible?
As Tess, Walter, and Grandpa watched the scene unfold on the monitor, Grandpa cried out,
They're alive!
All business, Lily said,
Tess, Nick, we need to get you out of there.
Part 6. Meanwhile, Thor climbed onto the Mega Lab transporter platform as Bloom worked the controls.
You'll follow the current to the android's accelerator,
she told him, launching him on his way. Tess's prosthetic eyes immediately detected Thor.
Someone's here, and it's not Gaines. It's that huge guy, she cried out.
Nick quickly pointed up to one of the conduits overhead.
Let's go up there, he said.
Meanwhile, in the thought control helmet, Gaines said to himself,
I should have control from here.
He began raising his own arms, causing the robot to mimic him raising its arms. Then he pointed a finger at the count. Speaking through the robot, which also pointed its finger at Ingana Morte, he said,
So, Count, I see you've been busy.
The Count was shocked.
Who are you? Gaines, is that you?
Nick was confused.
Is that Gaines talking?
Joe said,
It must be the remote.
And Tess said,
He must have traveled to the headgear we saw next to the robot.
As Nick speculated,
He's controlling the android from the headgear.
And Tess wondered,
Maybe there's a connection?
Thor climbed into their chamber and grabbed Ava from behind.
Gotcha!
He crowed. As Nick raised his hands, Thor held Ava firmly in front of himself and said,
Not so fast! You're all coming with me!
Joe lunged forward.
Take your hands off her!
Meanwhile, Gaines kept up his negotiation.
I will make a deal with you, Count, now that I know you can travel through the currents like me. We could sell immortality to the world's richest people. We've proven that it can be done.
The Count sneered.
We?
I've proven it. You are just an insect waiting to be swatted. Suddenly, the Count lurched up from his chair, reached for the helmet, and declared,
Now I'm going to swat you.
Gaines ran, frantically seeking a way out, as the Count put on the helmet, saying,
Let me get my fly swatter.
As the chamber they were in jerked, Thor lost his grip on Ava, falling back.
Whoa!
Ava kept her balance, but asked,
Everything is shaking. Why is this moving?
Mom, run,
called Nick, as he powered up his prosthetic arms and shot a blast at Thor, knocking him out. The four Teslas ran for a porthole. Diving through it, they looked around.
We made it to the headgear, Nick said.
Tess nodded.
It looks like the Count is wearing it to control the robot.
Ava asked, puzzled,
How can you see this?
Clawing at the helmet, the Count yelled,
Destroy the connection to the computer! That must be how they got in!
As Bloom pulled the plug, she said in dismay,
I don't know where our guests are.
Facing off with the android, the Count said,
It's time to control this remotely. Thor, are you there? Stop Gaines.
Part 7. Spotting Gaines hiding around a corner, Tess said grimly,
We're not alone. I see you, Gaines.
Ava was fierce.
How could you do this to us, Buck?
Joe agreed.
You'll pay for this, Gaines,
he declared, shaking a finger at the cowering man. Gaines straightened up and declared,
The only way out is to find a connection to the grid. You can take control of the robot with your prosthetics.
Looking through a window in the helmet, Tess asked,
What if we go to his transporter? He must have one if his goon got into the robot. I can see what the robot sees, she added.
Just then Lily said, Nick, use the connection you have to the robot to take you to the Count's transporter.
Meanwhile, holding the unplugged cable, Bloom told the Count,
They won't be able to use this connection to escape.
Lily continued giving Nick instructions.
You need to make him take you to the transporter.
Nick nodded. I can take control. What do I do then?
Gaines said,
His robot has all the features you two have. I think you can convince him with the lasers you're so fond of.
Nick, speaking through the robot and pointing at the Count with his arm, said,
You'll be taking us to the transporter. You know what we can do with this robot. Let's go.
The Count backpedaled.
Buck? Who is this? How did you get control?
Let's go to the transporter,
Nick said, using the robot to push the Count forward.
The Count argued,
Gaines, I'll take your deal. We don't have to do this.
Joe and Ava clenched their fists.
What deal is that?
Joe demanded of Gaines. Gaines lifted his hands innocently.
There was no deal. I was just stalling for time.
Joe pulled back and socked Gaines across the jaw.
This is for leaving us for dead.
When the robot and the Count reached the transporter, Nick said to his family, Let's go home. Using the robot, he lifted the control helmet off the Count's head and set it down on the platform, saying,
You won't be needing this. Now you're going to start this up. We'll deal with you later.
The Count cried out,
No, I need that. That's my robot, my new body.
Lily called out, We have a path. Even as the transporter sparked to life, the Count reached out for the helmet.
I won't let you take it,
he cried out in desperation. Bloom gasped in horror.
Count, no!
Nick declared, triumphantly grinning,
Get ready to ride the currents.
Tess added,
Let's go home.
With that, the four Teslas dove into the current, with Tess crying out,
Lily, show us the way home.
The Count, sucked into the current when he reached for the helmet, looked around as he zoomed forward.
Let me take a look at my creation from the inside.
He settled the helmet firmly on his skull. He stopped when he reached the chamber with Thor.
Now I know it will work, he laughed. I'll live forever.
Lily, Walter, and Grandpa watched from their terminals. Lily encouraged them.
Follow the path.
Here they come,
Walter crowed, and Grandpa added,
My family!
Materializing on the Tesla House Philadelphia Experiment transporter, everyone hugged and started talking at once.
Joe,
Dad!
Grandpa,
I'm so happy!
Ava,
Hi, Pops!
Tess,
Way to go, Walter!
Walter,
I'm coming next time.
Nick.
Next time?
Gaines, meanwhile, was still trapped in the current.
Looks like there's only one place for me to go, he muttered.
Stopping in the central chamber, he looked over and said with surprise,
Count!
The Count, wearing the control helmet, ordered,
Buck, get out of here!
Then, speaking through the android, the Count said to Bloom,
Ethel, we have a lot to do.
She grinned gleefully.
It will work, Count. It will work.
Biographies. Nikola Tesla, inventor. Nikola Tesla was a Serbian-American inventor, electrical engineer, mechanical engineer, and futurist who is best known for his contributions to the design of the modern alternating current electricity supply system that we still use today. Tesla patented many of his inventions, and he was well known for his showmanship when he gave demonstrations. Born July 10, 1856, Smiljan, Croatia. Died January 7, 1943. Education, Graz University of Technology, 1875 to 1878.
Awards: Elliot Cresson Medal, 1894, IEEE Edison Medal, 1916, Order of the Yugoslav Crown, 1931, John Scott Legacy Medal, 1934. Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein was a German-American physicist who developed the special and general theories of relativity. He won the Nobel Prize for Physics in 1921 for his explanation of the photoelectric effect. Einstein is generally considered the most influential physicist of the 20th century. His formula, E equals mc squared, has been called the world's most famous equation. Born March 14, 1879, Ulm, Germany. Died April 18, 1955, Princeton, New Jersey. Education: Swiss Federal Polytechnic School in Zurich, 1896-1900. Awards: Nobel Prize for Physics, 1921. Gold Medal of the Royal Astronomical Society, 1926. Max Planck Medal, 1929. Member of the Nation Academy of Sciences, 1942. Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking was an English theoretical physicist, cosmologist, and author whose book, A Brief History of Time, is a worldwide bestseller. Hawking did groundbreaking work in theoretical physics and quantum mechanics. But perhaps he is best known as a prolific author who could explain science in a way that was broadly accessible. Born January 8, 1942, Oxford, England. Died March 14, 2018, Cambridge, England. Education: University of Oxford, 1959-1962. University of Cambridge, PhD, 1966. Awards: Fellow of the Royal Society, 1974. Commander of the Order of the British Empire, 1982. Presidential Medal of Freedom, 2009. BBVA Foundation Frontiers of Knowledge Award, 2015. About IEEE USA. IEEE USA is an organizational unit of the Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers Incorporated, IEEE, created in 1973 to support the career and public policy interests of IEEE's U.S. members. IEEE USA is primarily supported by an annual assessment paid by the U.S. IEEE members. Through its products and services, IEEE USA serves as a resource for enhancing the professional growth and career advancement of U.S. IEEE members. And through its government relations programs, IEEE USA works with all three branches of the federal government to help shape the workforce and technology policy to the benefit of its members, the profession, and the American people. About the author. Jeff Knurek, Jumble Cartoonist, is an award-winning toy and game inventor, consumer product inventor, graphic artist, illustrator, cartoonist, and puzzle creator. Knurek's first game invention to make it to market in 1989 was the outdoor game Spikeball. His other game credits include Family Fun Magazine's Toy of the Year Award winners What's in Ned's Head and Monster Under My Bed. Knurek also develops and licenses children's magic tricks and products for Las Vegas headliner Mack King. In 2008, Jeff Knurek became only the third artist to draw the popular Jumble puzzle cartoon, seen in more than 600 newspapers. He took over the art duties for Jumble when the great Henri Arnold retired. Knurek's unique humor and style can be seen in the caricatures and fun pop culture references placed throughout his cartoons. Jeff is also a singer-songwriter. His first album, Risk Taking Is Free, is an eclectic mix of songs inspired by his diverse love of many genres of music. He has begun work on his second album. Knurek's hometown is Southgate, Michigan. He has lived throughout the Midwest in Ohio, Illinois, and Indiana. Knurek received a BFA in Industrial Design with an Art Education Certification from the University of Michigan. In 2007, he donated a kidney to a family member with polycystic kidney disease, and both are doing great. Knurik currently resides in Fishers, Indiana, with his wife, Kathy, and children, Sydney and Cameron. This has been The Tesla Twins, Rescue at the Speed of Light, written by Jeff Knurik, narrated by Kat Lukabaugh. Copyright 2021 by IEEE USA and Jeff Knurik. All rights reserved.